Chico Smoke Shop. Save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands, including a walk-in humidor. Visit Chico's inside or take advantage of the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week. You'll save up to 40% every day at Chico Smoke Shop.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. As always, I'm Justin Spears, joined here by my man, my co-host, Dominic Bachaco.
What's going on, everybody?
What's happening? It's been a minute since we've done a basketball podcast.
Yep, a couple weeks, but, you know, we're kicking it into almost full gear here. Got another few days, that Wednesday season opener next week. So, starting to shift things into gear for college basketball season here.
Houston Baptist. Never heard of them until Arizona scheduled them. But it's the typical Arizona basketball season opener.
Like
they play against a team that you probably never heard of, but for some reason they have like three alumni here in Tucson. And
I saw this crazy stat today while I was reading, and I'll do my best to recall it. I don't have it written down. So don't fact check me on this. Or do. I might be only a couple numbers off. But I saw this while reading, going through some content for the Arizona Daily Star's, special college basketball guide that published last Sunday. Lute Olson, in the Lute Olson era, Arizona played ranked teams in the regular, played eight or more ranked teams in the regular season 9 times under Lute Olson. In the Sean Miller era, they've played something like 20 some odd. I think they've played like 28 ranked teams, in the regular season in the Sean Miller era. So just put that into perspective. I mean, you look at Lute Olson, 8 ranked teams 9 times or more.
And is that in the, you said regular
non-conference,
season?
Non-conference. I believe it was non-conference,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Cause I was gonna say, like, you know, I think about regular season, you include Pac-12 schedules like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, UCLA was always ranked. Washington was always ranked. But in the non-conference schedule, that's actually really interesting. And now that you bring up that point, now I'm starting to go back and think, like, yeah, Lute Olson did play, like, Wake Forest.
I'm trying to think that was it 2001 when they played, they hosted, like, number 2 Maryland at McHale Center. Can you imagine the number 2 team in the country coming to McHale Center right now? That would be, I mean, talk about lit. I mean, that would be, McHale Center would be, and Tucson would be insane. Mm-hmm. Especially if it was a team like Maryland. I mean, they played Maryland that year. They played Illinois. I mean, they played everybody. Mm-hmm. That was just the Lute Olson days, different time in Arizona basketball.
Man. I mean, but Sean Miller, he's, well, I'm trying to think of the last big-time non-conference opponent that he had come to McHale Center. Maybe Gonzaga?
Gonzaga, yeah. A couple times Gonzaga.
2014.
I mean, that's the thing is even last year, I mean, you get the UConn's in here, the Alabama's in here, and it looks good on paper, but it's like, okay, like UConn in 2017, like who's going to remember that game? Like, I'll ask you in 10 years or a couple years from now, you know, what the final score, what the outcome of that UConn game was. You won't be able to tell me a single thing about it other than the fact that DeAndre Ayton was on the team.
Yeah. That's like, you know, scheduling UConn in basketball now. That's like if Arizona football was like, oh, we're going to schedule SMU.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, Southern Methodist was a national powerhouse.
And it's cool. I mean, it's fun because of who else Arizona has on the schedule. Or this year, I mean, you look at Baylor. Like, Baylor's going to be the biggest non-conference game in McHale Center this year, if I'm not mistaken. And it's not, I mean, on paper, sure, Big 12. It's, you know, Big 12, Pac-12, big game. Mm-hmm. But it's Baylor 2018 is you know, not what it has been in years past. So just something to keep in mind, I guess, as the college basketball season kicks off here. Arizona's non-conference schedule, very weak, which, by the way, I know I'm getting off topic and we're not getting into our topics we have scripted here. But look, Arizona, a lot of people have them. I saw, was it Andy Katz this week who didn't have Arizona in his NCAA tournament? He had 5 or 6 Pac-12.
Wow.
Yep. 5 or 6, Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament. Arizona was not one of them. And he cited turnover and all this and that. And, you know, the regular usual things that people are listing, you know, to undersell Arizona, I guess. But look, you look at Arizona's non-conference schedule. If they have more than a couple, 2-3 losses going into conference play, I'm going to be surprised because they don't play anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not that bad. I mean, sure, they lost 5 starters from a year ago, and they're a completely different team, a new look. They're going to be, I mean, more shooting orientated. They're going to rely on the three a lot more, as we saw in the exhibition opener last week. But, you know, their schedule is so easy that I think they're going to have a lot of time to kind of mesh together. I mean, the only time they're going to play anybody who should give them a run for their money is in Maui. Maui, hey. But yeah, I mean, look, Arizona's going to win a lot of games in non-conference play. And I think, you know, they'll get ranked. They'll be in the top 20, probably around 15 when conference play rolls around. Mm-hmm. But to not have them in the tournament, I think that's a stretch. Remember, this is the number 20 recruiting class in the country this year. So I think they're better than people realize. I think they're just not as good as they were supposed to be a year ago, and that's why people are kind of selling them short. But
the number 20 recruiting class when this is like arguably the worst recruiting class Sean Miller has put together. Really? Because I think about that first year, he had Derek Williams, Solomon Hill, Kevin Parham, three guys that had a major impact on the program. Where you look at this recruiting class now, obviously Brandon Williams mm-hmm. is the top guy. He's going to have a major impact, but where's Omar Tielemans at?
Right.
He's
absolutely.
He left the program.
Yep.
And, I mean, outside of that, you have Debonair Dutrieve. And I look at him as a guy that I don't know if he's going to impact Arizona right now. He looked good in that exhibition game, the first exhibition game. But I just, when I look at him and I look at his size, he's really skinny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to put on a little bit of weight. I will give him some weight. I was like, hey, you want to trade, man? I'll give you some of my weight.
Yeah, take him out to Canes a couple times.
Yes. And I don't know. He's still kind of up in the air. I think he's going to be awesome at Arizona. He's going to be a 3-4 year guy that I think Sean Miller will rely on a lot. But the recruiting class is still up in the air. And that's why I say, like, this is one of the worst recruiting classes Sean Miller's had. And yet it was still top 20 in
right.
the country.
Right.
So things could be worse.
Exactly. And if you're selling Arizona short because of their turnover, fine. But at least acknowledge the fact that they have the number 20 recruiting class. I mean, sure, they lost all five starters. We get that. It's overplayed. We all know it. But you got to look at who they brought in. They're by no means... I mean, you're saying if you have five teams in the Pac-12, five or six teams, however many Andy Katz had in the NCAA tournament over them, you're telling me there's five or six teams in the Pac-12 better than Arizona? I mean, I think they're going to be putting up with UCLA and Oregon all year for the Pac-12 title. I mean, I don't think that they're that much worse than the rest of the Pac-12.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
especially to the extent to where they wouldn't make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, I think UCLA and Oregon, those are your one and two right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arizona's, just a notch below them because I was watching Oregon the other night and
Bol Bol.
Have you seen Bol Bol?
Guy's insane. Shooting threes, that three he hit over the defender.
Looking like a guard, and he's 7'2". I don't think he's as dominant of a player as DeAndre Ayton. I still think
right.
I'm gonna in a one-on-one matchup every single time. I'm gonna pick DeAndre Ayton, but I think he's a better shooter than DeAndre Ayton. And the way I saw him running the floor, the dude runs like a guard, so he's very versatile. And like I said, I'm taking DeAndre Ayton every day of the week and twice on Sunday in a one-on-one matchup, but. Bol Bol is in a class of his own this year in the Pac-12.
Well, and we talk about Arizona's recruiting class. Don't count out Oregon and UCLA. They were two of the top recruiting classes in the country this year. So keep that in mind. They're going to be good teams down the stretch that Arizona's going to have to put up with if they want to win a third consecutive Pac-12 championship. We talked about DeAndre Ayton a little bit. Let's go into him
yeah,
and Alonzo Trier.
Nice little segue.
Yeah. we brought up Ayton a couple times. I was like, okay, we could go on. But look, DeAndre Ayton, correct me if I'm wrong here, 17 points, 18 rebounds.
Season high.
In a loss to, who they lose to the other night? It was the Raptors. It was
yep.
Kawhi. In a loss to the Raptors. Look, DeAndre Ayton's problem here is his defense. He's been absolutely, I mean, he's been the player we saw at Arizona and some on offense this year, averaging a double-double now, 16 and 10 points. He's been shooting lights out on his standards. He's been, I mean, essentially what the Suns drafted him to be. But in saying that, Justin, I'll let you talk about the upside of DeAndre Ayton a little bit, but his defense is a little bit of a question too.
Yeah, and I think that's just him adjusting to the league. You know, there's been a lot of times where you would see DeAndre kind of cheat up a little bit and get to the top of the key, and he forgets, mm-hmm. oh, I got a cutting guard or a cutting forward going back door. And then the thing about the NBA is while there are, while they're seems to be a lot of some dumb players, like players that aren't necessarily smart players. Yeah. They're still smart basketball players, mm-hmm. and they will expose you on the court any chance that they get. So by the time DeAndre Ayton switches over and realizes, oh man, I got a guy going backdoor on me, guy's already going up for a dunk.
Right.
You know, and there's a big difference between playing against an NBA team every single night as opposed to Cal or Stanford. You know, these players are by far better. You know, these are pros. These are the best basketball players in the world. And especially in the Western Conference, like you're going to be going up against all stars every single night. And I think with DeAndre, you know, he's still learning how to get his feet under him. He's still just a baby deer. As much as a imposing figure that he is, he's still getting used to the NBA. He's only 20 years old. You know, it's going to be a project. But you know, the Suns got to get some better pieces around him. You know, I know they have young buzz with Devin Booker, and they still have Josh Jackson, and they, you know, yeah, then Ayton, but they are ways away from getting to the goal, and that's becoming a playoff contender. And you know, frankly, one thing that I'm worried about is by the time they start becoming a team that competes for a playoff spot, Ayton's rookie contract is already going to be over with.
Right?
You know, he only has 3-4 years on his contract, and let's say it takes a long time for them to get free agents to come over, and then the young guys start developing more. Who's to say, I don't know, a playoff contender? I could see Boston somewhere down the road, you know? Yeah, if DeAndre Ayton wants to be a guy that plays in the NBA Finals and compete for championships, that's what they all sign up for. You know, a team that he can get out of West, or who knows, maybe he goes back to, he goes to New York and teams up with Alonzo Trier. I think they need a big, right?
Yeah.
They
would absolutely take him.
You know, I'm just spitballing here right now, but I'm just saying, like, I think the Suns, they really need to find pieces right away, and they need to surround DeAndre Ayton. And I know Devin Booker's that guy. He's the best player on the team, but you need to make DeAndre a big part of your plans or else he's sayonara in a few years.
Well, I think that's kind of, I get what you're saying with Ayton, but I think the upside with him is that he's a Phoenix kid, and I don't see him, even when his rookie contract's up, even if the Suns aren't the team they wanted to be 5 years down the road, I think Ayton is going to be in a position where he wants to stay in Phoenix at least, you know, for another extension.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him leaving anytime soon, even when his rookie contract's up, but you're right.
Don't take the hometown discount either.
Oh, like, no, absolutely not.
They need to pay
him. Absolutely.
If he's going at the rate that he's going.
Right, no, the Suns can't bank on that by any means. I mean, they can't sit back and go, okay, well, we have DeAndre Ayton forever because he's a Phoenix kid. He's not going anywhere. I mean, they have to, they got to treat him like any other free agent and give him money because if he plays like he has the first 8 games of the year for the next 4 years, he's going to be due a pretty hefty paycheck at the end of his rookie contract. But again, I mean, it's just the defense is a big question mark with DeAndre Ayton right now. I've seen a lot of people harping on it on social media, and it is what it is. I mean, Justin, you said it. It's a big adjustment going from college basketball in the Pac-12 playing against teams like Cal and Washington State. And I mean, the lowly teams of the Pac-12, Oregon State. I mean, you have all these teams where you can afford to sneak up in the key a little bit. And, you know, people might not expose you as much as they do now in the NBA. Whereas if he slips up even a little bit or gives a little bit room, people are going to go by him and he's going to get exposed and he's going to get put on a poster every now and then. And you know, again, that's just development. To see what he's been doing on offense is encouraging because at the very least he's out there putting up buckets. So obviously the Suns are going to keep rolling with him, no question. I mean, he's you say Booker's the best player on the team. If that's true, DeAndre Ayton's 1B. You know,
yes.
I mean, he's right there with him. So
yes,
the production that he's put out so far is pretty spectacular. And what they drafted at number one overall, that Suns defense too isn't just DeAndre Ayton. They rank 26th in defensive efficiency in the NBA. That's very bad.
There's only 30 teams.
Yeah, there's only 30 teams. I mean, that's down there. It's down there with teams like the Wizards are down there. I think the Pelicans are down there. The Cavaliers are obviously down there. So the Suns as an entire team have to play better, and that obviously goes hand in hand with Ayton. He makes them a better team, and they can certainly make him a better player on offense and defense. But what he's been doing so far with the ball in his hands has been impressive. Another man who has been lights out, possibly even better than DeAndre Ayton on offense, is Alonzo Trier. He had 14 points in the fourth quarter the other night, off the bench, 23 points overall. I mean, this guy has been doing it all. He just looks good. Like, he looks like he knows what he's doing on the NBA court. He's shifty. He's doing it all. He's picking up assists, rebounds, steal. I mean, he's playing defense. He's scoring. He's getting to the hoop. One thing I really like about him that I always harped on, this won't be the first time, it won't be the last time you've heard me say this, he's getting to the rim. I mean, when he drives and gets through the lane and goes up, I mean, it's hard to stop him. I mean, he's just that kind of player. He's shifty is a good word to describe him. And, I mean, watching him with the ball, it's fun. I'm trying to think of a good comparison for him, and I can't. Maybe you can. Watching him with the ball is just fun because you never know what he's going to do. I mean, he's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he's like James Harden, because James Harden has, like, he's perfected the Euro step.
Absolutely.
And Trier doesn't really do a Euro step. It's weird. He does like a
cross. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so weird watching him with the ball. Like, I don't know. I can't put a finger on it because he just kind of does his own thing, but it works.
Yeah. And he's not a high flyer, but the way he gets to the rim kind of reminds me a little bit of like, a little bit of Tracy McGrady. Kind of like that. When you talk about being shifty, mm-hmm. and he's not super flashy when it comes to his cuts and how he gets to the basket. He'll do a crossover and then you'll see him kind of stop and get patient, maybe take a couple dribbles in place, then do another crossover. And the way he sees defenders move, he finds space. And it's not super flashy. It's almost like slow motion for him.
Right.
And
it doesn't, you're right. It's not flashy. It doesn't look good. Like, yeah. Like, it's not pretty when he does it, but it works.
But
it's effective. Yeah.
Kyle Anderson mm-hmm. with the Spurs, he's kind of like that a little bit. But, you know, a part of me thought that Trier would do well in the NBA, but after watching how he played in his last year at Arizona, he was great. You know, he was Arizona's best scorer outside of DeAndre Ayton, really. Mm. But his game just didn't fit college. You know, and that was the reason why I said he might be able to figure it out if he's on the right team. And David Fizdale, the Knicks head coach, he said, I see Lou Williams in that guy. That guy can be Lou Will. Lou Will was an assassin. That guy was an awesome shooter. And I was like, well, Trier's, he's a good shooter. He's solid. But, like you said, he's better at getting to the rim, doing layups, or at least drawing contact and knocking down free throws. So I was like, I don't see Lou Williams. Well, Lou Williams was a combo guard. He plays both point guard and shooting guard, and he comes off the bench. And the thing that gets me about Trier, I mean, sure, he's scoring, he's putting up numbers, but he's playing in crunch time for the Knicks.
Like, 14 of his 23 came in the fourth quarter.
In the last like 4 minutes of the game, he's in there for the Knicks. And for an undrafted free agent to step in, and sure, it is the Knicks. But if David Fizdale and that whole new regime, if they continue to thrive and Trier is a part of that success, man, it's going to be fun to watch the Knicks, because I know in the next couple of years they could be able to get a free agent. Remember, I was talking about DeAndre Ayton possibly going to the Knicks, you know, later on. And who knows, maybe a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you know, maybe he becomes a free agent and joins the Knicks.
Kevin Durant?
Man, I know you don't want that.
I don't think it'll happen. I just had to throw it out there. If there's any New York fans, we'll you know, suffice you for a little bit. But
you know, it's to see Alonzo Trier do this, it's awesome, you know, because he was undrafted. I'm still kind of skeptical about the whole idea that he had an opportunity to get drafted, but he passed on teams. I don't know what that was about. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Alonzo is telling the truth. But if that is the case, he really put himself in the best position, because he is thriving with the Knicks. And a lot of people that said he wasn't going to play well, he's making them eat their own words right now. And Alonzo Trier's balling.
Well, and Ryan Finley and I were talking a couple days ago about, it was last night when he put up 14 in the fourth quarter. you know, is this one of those situations like a Kevin Love? I'm not comparing him to Kevin Love. I'm just saying a situation like that where Kevin Love only excels when he is the premier guy on a team.
When he's on a bad team.
Yeah. You look at him with the Wolves. You look at him with the Cavs. Now he's having a great year because he is the guy. And is Alonzo Trier like that? Is he kind of falling into that category? Why does that matter? I mean, he's balling out with the Knicks right now. He's there for, I mean, he's on a two-way contract right now. By the way, we talk about contracts with DeAndre Ayton and what he'll be doing in a few years when his rookie contract's up. Look at Alonzo Trier's on a two-way contract. He's not even on a full NBA deal, and he is balling out every night in the NBA.
That's going to change, though.
Right. Oh, sometime absolutely. Soon. Absolutely. Sometime soon. It should. Yeah, sooner than later, for sure.
He's not playing in the G League.
But
year.
No, he should. I mean, not playing like this, he won't. And that's the thing. Like, Alonzo Trier is going to go on a slump. I mean, when he's not knocking down shots and when he's playing teams like the Warriors who can put a big body on him inside, who could afford to put Draymond Green on him and still shut him down with that big of a body and that big of, you know, a perimeter defender and someone who can lock down the key. It's going to be, those are the kind of guys I see Alonzo Trier struggling against because, that shiftiness won't necessarily work against them, and he'll be forced to shoot the ball. And when Alonzo Trier goes cold from the outside and can't get to the inside, I don't see him being effective. But again, I mean, he's been lights out for the Knicks so far, and really him and Ayton both have been, I mean, everything that they were drafted in DeAndre Ayton's case or signed in Alonzo Trier's case to be.
Man, here we are. Did you ever think that Alonzo Trier would have a better start to his pro career than, say, a guy like Rolly Alkins?
No. No. I mean, I don't think Alkins has seen minutes yet, has he?
No. And he hasn't even played with the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, He's playing for the Windy City Bulls, which is their G League team.
Okay, you're right.
But, man, you know, ISO Zell, there's a reason why they call him that. And being that kind of player fits in the NBA. And good for Trier.
Absolutely good for Trier. I mean, again, say what you want about the guy. I mean, he's making it work. I mean, whatever type of player you think he is or what you think he was at Arizona or can be in New York, he's making it work for himself right now. And again, if you think it's just because he's, you know, one of a very bad team, you know, one decent player on a very bad team, I mean, so what? He's making the most of it right now. Kevin Love's made it work.
Yep.
He's turned it into an all-star, possibly a Hall of Fame career. And, you know, Alonzo Trier is, in his first few games in the NBA, has been very impressive.
Let's shift back to the actual Arizona Wildcats. So we already talked about the cupcake non-conference schedule that they have outside of Maui. They could face a couple decent teams in Maui. I know that they have Iowa State, and they could play the winner, or they are going to play the winner of Illinois Gonzaga. And who knows, game three, it could be
Duke.
The Dookie Blue Devils, baby! Like my Dickie V voice.
I know the listeners don't.
But I know. Arizona basketball fans are like,
yeah, they're Dick Vitale on the podcast right now.
That's awesome, baby. I love it. But the rotations, if you're still listening to this podcast, you haven't shut it off after my Dick Vitale impression.
It wasn't Dick Vitale. It's just Justin Spears. Okay.
But rotations. That's the interesting part. You know, what is Arizona's lineup going to be like? Who are the guys that Arizona's going to roll with? Shawn Miller said after the first exhibition game that he plans on using 9 players. And Dominic, you and I both know that that is fake news. Fake news.
It's fake news, absolutely.
Shawn Miller has never used 9 players. He's always 7, maybe 8 guys. It's never usually 9 or 10 players, especially now that Arizona's roster is kind of depleted a little bit. Or we don't necessarily know the guys that they're going to be rolling with. But at the same time, a part of me thinks that Shawn Miller is actually telling the truth because he knows how important depth is. He knows how important staying healthy is. And maybe we could see a situation where, yeah, Chase Jeter is going to step off the court, and you're going to see a small ball lineup with Ryan Luther or Ira Lee at the center. Ryan Luther, by the way, is 6'9", where Ira Lee is 6'7". So if either of those two guys are going to be your backup center, Arizona is definitely playing small ball. But in terms of who's going to play small forward, what's the term we always use for Arizona's backcourt? House of guards. They have so many guards. And
more to come in the future, too.
Yeah, because not to mention the number one rated point guard in the country and the top three shooting guard in Josh Green is coming along. So, and Terry Armstrong. So Arizona's going to have a lot of guards. But for this year, I mean, we saw the starting lineup against Western New Mexico. And think about this. With Chase Jeter out, who had an unspecified injury, your starting lineup against Houston Baptist will be Justin Coleman, Brandon Williams, Brandon Randolph, Ryan Luther, and Chase Jeter. That's going to be your starting five. And then coming off the bench, you're going to have, what?
Ira Lee.
Ira Lee, but he's suspended for the first game.
You're right.
But,
you're right.
But he will.
Right. I mean, we're just talking like rotation. Yeah. I mean, in the long run, you're going to have Acott, Ira Lee, Dylan Smith will get minutes there, Dutrieve.
So that's eight.
Yeah.
And then Dutrieve, eight. So
Barcelo.
So, I mean, so we had our starting five. Coming off the bench, we have Barcelo, Dylan Smith, Emmanuel Acott, and Ira Lee.
So that's nine right there.
That's nine. I mean, is Dutrieve going to be a redshirt? Like, what's going to happen? You say you plan on playing nine guys. Somebody's going to be the odd man out, and it's probably going to be either Dutrieve, or Barcelo once again. But people have been hyping him up this entire offseason. They say he's the best shooter on the team.
And we didn't see it against Western New Mexico, but look, if he turns into the shooter they want him to be, I see him being a huge contributor down the stretch. I don't know. I mean, if he really is, quote unquote, the best shooter on the team, like everybody said at Media Day, I mean, honestly, everyone we asked at Media Day about Alex Barcelo, they all had the same thing to say about him, and that was that he is the team's best shooter. You know, and he takes pride in that. You know, we asked him about it, and he said he takes pride in it. And look, that's huge for Arizona, because if they are this guard oriented, look, they shot 42.3% from the field, from 3-point range in that Western New Mexico exhibition game, 11 threes they hit. And Sean Miller said post game, he said, Justin, you were there, so you can probably test this better than I can. He said, this is the team we are. I mean, we are going to hit three. I mean, we're a 3-point shooting team this year. And it's.
What was Randolph's 3-point, line?
5-5. He was perfect. 5-5, 6-8 from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at other guys who can shoot along with Barcelo. Randolph's in that category. Dylan Smith, you saw get hot last year. He was 1 of 3 from beyond the arc, 3 of 5 in that exhibition. Brandon Williams was 6 of 11 from the field, 1 of 6 from three. So, look, they got a lot of guys who can shoot threes. Ryan Luther knocked down 2 3-pointers. They got a lot of guys that can shoot. Acott, I think, can be that kind of perimeter scorer that they've kind of aspired to have in years past, but have never really had. Who am I thinking of that I'm trying to compare Emmanuel Acott to?
Like a former Arizona player?
Yeah, maybe like an Aaron Gordon or Stanley Johnson was more of a guard anyway, so I guess Aaron Gordon would be a good consideration.
Parham.
Yeah, Parham too. But Aaron Gordon was supposed to be a good outside shooter, and it never... It wasn't the case even remotely. So I think if Acott can be that'll be huge for Arizona, because he'll be able to shoot and he's not a guard. Arizona's going to have to find some kind of production outside of their 1 and 2 spots. And I think Acott can bring a lot to that category. Ira Lee, obviously, Ryan Luther, if he can step out and shoot the ball well, he can be another big man for Arizona that can shoot well, kind of like a Lauri Markkanen of sorts. Probably not to that extent. I don't think he's that as good of a shooter as Markkanen. Yeah, on sorts. But look, Arizona. The bottom line here is Arizona has a lot of guys to play with. Their starting five is pretty much solidified right now, I think.
Yep.
I don't see a lot of wiggle room there. I mean, maybe if Ira Lee gets really hot, you can see him stepping in, maybe instead of Ryan Luther. I don't know. I mean, right now it's a good problem for Sean Miller to have, that he has a lot of guys who can shoot the ball, supposedly, who are supposed to be able to, you know, be good shooters, and he has a lot of guards, and it's different from years past. Look, he said Arizona's going to be a 3-point shooting team this year. It's almost by, you know, they have to be. It's not by design. You know, Sean Miller's not trying, you know, he's calling the same plays. You know, he's still a guard-oriented coach. Guards succeed under Sean Miller, and I think that's why, if this team has success this year, that's why you're going to... that's going to be why. Sean Miller kind of speaks a guard's language to a certain degree, and Arizona sure has a plethora of those this year. So just looking at it, I mean, there's so many names here that can contribute this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how the minutes are divvied up. Again, we don't think it's going to be 9 deep like he says it's going to be, but you're right. I mean, someone's minutes are going to have to be eaten into. Looking at minutes here, again, I mean, this is an exhibition, so it's hard to tell. A lot of guys, I mean, he had, let's see here, from Williams down, of course it goes back now. I mean, he had a lot of guys playing 20 minutes. I mean, I think that's how it's going to be. I mean, I think you're not going to see a lot of people play 30 minutes, and it's in years past because of how many guys he can go deep. But again, that's going to change when you have, you know, when you cut that rotation down to six or seven, I mean, seven guys instead of nine, which he's rolling with right now.
They need to make sure that Chase Jeter is healthy at all times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because this team is entirely huge. Different without Chase Jeter.
And that's what Sean Miller said after the exhibition game. But man, it's going to be interesting to see how the rotation pans out, because I remember Alex Barcelo, he was actually a big part of Arizona's rotation at the start of the season. Then he had an ankle injury, and when he tried to come back, there was just no recovery. He just couldn't crack the rotation. So, you know, injuries happen in basketball, but, you know, if all stays healthy, it should be pretty interesting to see how it all unravels.
And that's the interesting part, too, is when's the last time Arizona had a completely healthy season? I mean, last year you saw Ira Lee, Emmanuel Acott, Barcelo, Trier. Did Trier deal with injuries last year? Or just am I just thinking of the suspension? Alkins dealt with injuries the last 2 years. So Arizona's always beaten up, usually before the season starts. So the fact they're this healthy going into week one is a big, you know, check that off the list. We're healthy. Let's go play basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's at least one advantage. I mean, even if they're not nine deep, you know, come January when they kick into Pac-12 games, I think at the very least, you're going to have guys who have had minutes in non-conference games that you'll be comfortable inserting, for any possible injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to be healthy all year. But that's the thing. I mean, that's what Sean Miller has working for him this year, is how deep he is. Whether or not he goes nine deep, he has those players available.
Mm-hmm. So real quick before we end this podcast, Dominic, because we're going to have many, many more basketball podcasts this season. Which, by the way, we still have a deal with Frog and Firkin before every Arizona home basketball game. We still haven't given
I don't know if it's once
date.
A week. This is, there's two games. I don't know what the exact schedule is. So I don't know if we have it padded down yet.
It's either going to be on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We're still working on a day to do the podcast. We're thinking Tuesday. That way we give it, the podcast has a little bit more shelf life. But we will be at Frog and Firkin. Once football season ends, we will be at Frog and Firkin recording live podcasts every Tuesday or Wednesday before home basketball games. So that should be fun. I'm excited. And Dom, you know, you were a part of the live podcast a couple weeks ago. It's a fun atmosphere at Frog and Firkin, and we look to maintain the momentum.
Yeah, come out
and
say hi, by the way. Michael Lev, our football reporter who is just on the beat, quite literally. He's amazing. Him, Justin Spears, and Ryan Finley are out at Frog and Firkin every Thursday before home football games. Go say hi. You guys have one more football podcast.
One more.
Yeah, one more before that ASU game. And I think it's at a special day that week since it's Thanksgiving. Am I wrong?
Yeah, so we'll be doing that on Monday.
Monday. Gotcha. Monday. So yeah, Monday, that ASU week. Go out and say hi. You know, go stop by, ask them questions, talk with them. They'll be there. And they'll be more than happy to say hello.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So real quick before we end this podcast, Ira Lee, since we already talked about him a little bit, he will now serve a one-game suspension for being cited for DUI. And listen, I know his grandmother passed away that weekend, and he was going through a lot personal-wise. We knew a suspension was going to be underway. I think a one-game suspension, I don't know if that's right or if it's a wrong decision. I mean, you can go either way. I mean, I've seen U of A basketball players in the past being suspended for three or four games for a DUI arrest. But, you know, at the same time, you know, being suspended for one game, people think like, oh, he's just going to miss the Houston Baptist game, and then that's going to be it. Well, what else is going to happen? I mean, he's still going through some legal issues. Like, he's going to have to – he could go to jail, right? He could go to jail for a couple of days. You know, he's still working out all of the legal side of it. So
house arrest, he could be house arrest. He could be in McHale's. We talked about this before. What player in the NBA had an ankle bracelet on in games?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. he couldn't leave the state. last year for the Lakers, he I forgot what was going on with him, but he couldn't even leave the state for road games.
Mm-hmm.
He had to stay in California. So, like, if they're playing the Warriors or the Kings or the Clippers, yeah, he can go on the road.
Yeah,
but,
and he'd have his ankle bracelet on.
And he'd have his ankle bracelet on.
I love it.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't imagine Arizona would roll out Ira Lee with an ankle bracelet on. But, you know, I think the one-game suspension was right.
Yeah, it's difficult to sit here and say he deserved it. You know, he deserved a suspension, but, you know, it is what it is. And Ira Lee, you know, the little bit we've talked to him about it, we got to talk to him about it on Media Day.
He's owned up to it.
Yeah, he's owned up to it. He was regretful, and, you know, he said he screwed up, and he's had a good attitude about it, in my opinion. So I think he's moving on. I think it's a thing of... not of the past, because like you said, he's still going through some legal stuff, but I think he's ready to move on from it, and he's ready to start playing basketball first and foremost, and that starts next week. Again, he'll be sitting out the Wednesday game against Houston Baptist, but he will be back for... Who do they play that Sunday?
After the Houston Baptist game, they return Sunday to play Cal Poly.
So he'll be back for that game. That'll be Ira Lee's debut of the 2018-19 season. Again, Chaminade on Sunday of this weekend, the last exhibition, the last kind of tune-up for Sean Miller to see what he has. By the way, that's what I love about these exhibitions is you get to see everybody. It's good for Sean Miller and the coaching staff to see what kind of rotations they can throw out there, in a live game situation, but one that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So again, Chaminade on Sunday, who, by the way, has beaten good teams in the past. They beat Cal last year in the Maui Invitational.
Yep.
They had a big upset in the 80s. I was reading Bruce's article early.
In the 80s.
God, who did they beat? Yeah, going back. Yeah, 30 years ago, Chaminade beat. No, but look, I'm not saying they're going to beat Arizona. I'm just saying it, you know, it's going to be a more entertaining game than, you know, the 40-50 point blowout that Western Mexico was.
They only lost to San Diego State by 5 points the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Virginia, it was number one Virginia. They beat.
It was Virginia.
Of course, number one Virginia lost. And when has that ever happened? Chaminade, Hawaii, they host the Maui Invitational. I'm just spitballing some Chaminade facts here for you. They host the Maui Invitational. That's them. won a big game 30 years ago against Virginia. Beat Cal last year. You know.
Look out, Arizona.
Be a fun game. Yeah.
Right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts, and you can always catch out Arizona Wildcats basketball coverage available on the Wildcaster app. You can download that. It's free. You don't have to subscribe to the Arizona Daily Star, and you can get that on the App Store and Google Play, or you can hit us up on Tucson.com. For Dominic, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Chico's Smoke Shop. Save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands, including a walk-in humidor. Visit Chico's inside or take advantage of the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week. You'll save up to 40% every day at Chico's Smoke Shop.